This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the rainy District of Columbia. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. He's an NFL legend. I'm a big-eared blogger. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I am doing well, brother. How you feeling?
Dude, I'm feeling weird, honestly.
I just saw weird, and now I'm in here. You feeling weird.
Well, Jeff talking about me in the shower to kick things off didn't necessarily help.
Well, he was in there saying,
how good I look.
Whoa, I need to stretch.
No.
I don't know what you're drinking, B.
Stop that.
B, can you show Landfill the giant bottle of liquid you have?
It's airborne.
Landfill, what's that look like? Mountain Dew at best?
No, I pour some.
Looks like Gatorade or something.
I put two tablets of airborne in this
water.
Are
you sick?
No, I'm drinking it so I don't get sick.
You got Halls working. You got airborne working.
I like to do stuff before. I try to keep it away.
B's planning ahead.
Hell yeah.
I have an announcement. What's having that? Landfill's birthday party today. Landfill's birthday's on Thursday, right?
That is correct.
Also, my sister-in-law, Julia. Happy birthday,
Julia. Why are we doing it today? We won't be here.
We're going to be in Ashburn tomorrow.
Okay. We need to send Jeff downstairs to get something.
Drew's bringing in a whole party. Mobile Drew party.
Yeah, but Drew might not be bringing in with Landfill drinks.
But downstairs isn't open till 11. I've thought of everything.
Let me call Aisha.
Well, all right. Can we get Aisha
her to open up her store earlier.
But here's where I think I'm going nuts. So I was listening to podcasts all morning.
24/7.
Okay, but this is a specific thing. I always listen to podcasts at like a time, like 1.5 speed, 1.75 speed. Mm-hmm. And Landfill just played Tribe Called Quest. We hear that song every morning. It sounded like it was going in slow motion. Like I just had some purple drink and everything was moving slow. Did it sound like that to anybody else?
No. Only people that listen to their podcast every morning at 1.5 is you.
Yeah, nah, that's insane, JP.
It sounded perfect to us.
It sounded slow.
That's psycho behavior, listening to that.
That's really, you need help.
Okay. Now, listen, maybe I do need help. That's a different debate. I think the vast majority of the podcast-consuming world listens at 1.5 or higher.
I think psychos.
Vast majority are exactly psychos.
I think this is like the traffic circle roundabout thing. You guys are just wrong on this one. Jeff, I think you're
the only one here. We're right.
Who does anybody listen to podcasts? Left hand up.
Yes.
What podcasts?
I listen to
aliens, UFOs.
Yeah.
I only listen to motivational things.
And everybody listens at regular speed.
I think at regular speed.
Of course.
Yeah.
You guys are nuts.
Because I'm not a crazy person.
And who talks that fast? That's like listening to somebody who auctions stuff.
You consume more information.
No, that just gets you more confused.
I'm telling you, I think you guys got it wrong. Maybe I got it right.
Well, we know you got it wrong, Jay, because you are always confused and can't remember what needs to happen.
Speaking of getting it wrong, Chargers looked real good for about three quarters last night. And I was pretty impressed by the Ravens late in that game. They end up winning 30-23 on the road in L.A. And let's be real, Baltimore needed that win in a bad way to kind of keep track with Pittsburgh, and I think they may be in a tie for first place now for that division.
Yeah, because the horse was ready, and victory came from the Lord. That's why the Steelers are not
that. Jameis is that dude. All right, so the Steelers are still ahead. They're ahead in the loss column. Steelers are 8-3. The Ravens are 8-4.
Okay,
I think the Ravens and the Commanders have that late last bye. Did you watch last night?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked it. It was a fun game. You know, very, very interesting game. And then the ultimate thing down the stretch, Lamar, the pass to Bateman
yep.
in the end zone.
Hell of a throw.
Hell of a throw, but hell of a catch, hell of a concentration. Because he was being interfered with like hell. And for him still to be able to reach back and pull that thing in is unbelievable.
Who was my man number seven? Fulton? Was it Fulton on the Chargers? He had a rough day.
Yeah, he had two. pass interference.
And then gave up the touchdown.
One they should have called, that was a touchdown.
Yeah. I thought Herbert was excellent in the first half. I think his receivers kind of let him down. The first-round pick, Johnston, that late drop he had on what would have been a first down is just a brutal drop. We've seen plenty of those here in Washington.
Yep.
I think Henry, I mean, is there a better dude to close out games? And you see Saquon.
Well, maybe Saquon.
you see Saquon go ballistic Sunday night. Yeah. Then you see Derrick Henry last night, 24 for 140.
But think about that. He was 24 for 140. Saquon was 26 for 255.
Yeah, I mean.
He had no touchdowns. Saquon had two.
Do you think, I was texting somebody about this last night. Do you think the success of Henry and Saquon could possibly change opinions on signing veteran running backs? Or do you think those guys are kind of outliers,
well,
exceptions?
I think it should. I mean, Christian McCaffrey got paid years ago. I mean, about 3-4 years ago. You still got the kid up there in Jacobs. He can still play. That dude is a hell of a running back. So you got enough running back in the league.
Well, and they just signed him from the Raiders, too.
Yeah, but like if running backs keep performing at this level, you're going to have to believe. Let's be real. Every coach tells you what before a game? We got to run the ball and stop the run. But the league is telling you, oh, running backs are unimportant. But when you get to the playoffs, what do you say? We got to be able to run the football. We got to close games out. Can't close us out throwing the damn ball all day. Ask Kyle Shanahan about that. They were up 28-3 and lost the damn Super Bowl.
Sure.
So that stuff about them not being important, that was something that they made up in a room.
Well, I wonder also if there's some recalibration of how to finish out games, because the thought for a while has been just keep your foot on the gas and you got to throw to win. And maybe people will say, I mean, if you look at how the Ravens won that game, I feel like they leaned on the run more in the second half when they were down. And it was the Chargers that couldn't get their run.
The Ravens ran and threw. They were doing both things. They also have a running back who's unbelievable and a quarterback who's out this damn world. So their running game is different than most teams.
Right. When the Ravens scored the first touchdown of the second half and early in the fourth quarter, it was a 14-play, 80-yard drive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of, and it, I think it was like a 7-minute drive.
Yeah.
They established Henry finally. Now, L.A. did a really good job in the first half, I thought. They were really good. I thought you saw a well-coached team. I thought the D-line really showed up. They had some kids on that D-line I liked a lot. Big fellas. The kid Tart. How about that guy Tart with the feet he had for the size he had getting to the edge? I'm going to butcher this name. Tui Pulatu?
45, 46, 45. I watched him in a game earlier this year.
Is he a rookie?
He destroys guys.
That might have been their first round
pick. That kid could do everything, man.
Okay, yeah. He was a second rounder last year out of USC.
Good.
He's good, dude.
Yeah, he's good.
I said it at the beginning of the year. I got the Chargers at least in an AFC title game by next year. They might be ahead of pace. That is not – the AFC is so loaded – because you got Mahomes, what the Ravens are, what the Bills are. The AFC is just loaded. The Steelers are still good. But the Chargers are a team nobody's going to want to see in January. I think their game will travel, too. I don't think they're dependent on good L.A. dome weather. I don't think they're quite there. I think if the Chargers were in the NFC, would they be the third best NFC team? I think Detroit and Philly have clearly separated themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you say is the third best team in the NFC, B? Everybody wants it to be San Fran. At some point, we got to give up on San Fran.
It may just be Seattle.
I mean, that would be the seeding right now.
To be honest with you, it may be Seattle. Like we could sit up here.
That would be
the
seeding right now.
Yeah,
they're the three
seed. We could keep wanting San Fran to be what we want. San Fran got some injuries just like other teams do. And they are not anywhere close to what they were for the last 3 years. They got talent galore. But when you start getting people banged up, you start to find out, do you have depth? And they may not.
Do you think – I think we both agree Kyle Shanahan's a good coach. It's hard to come to any other conclusion, right?
Yeah.
But he also – he listens to podcasts at 3x speed. That's a dude that pushes hard all the time. When you come up short in a Super Bowl, and then you've come up short in 2 out of 4 Super Bowls, right? Maybe 2 out of 5. Could that wear guys down?
It could. Because
I'm asking. I don't know.
I would say yes, because what happens is once you make it to the Super Bowl, you don't just have the thought of, like, if we make it to the playoffs, we are happy in this town. He can't make it to the playoffs and be happy. He has to go to a Super Bowl and probably win it to be have those people satisfied. They've gone to two. They've been in the NFC Championship game. They have to win something. So the stress level he's dealing with is way different than some of these other coaches.
Bro, what Mahomes has done to fan bases, organizations, you've got Lamar and Josh Allen are now firmly Carl Malone and Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just – until you break through, you're in that category, man. And whether that's fair or not, it ain't up to me. That's just the way of the world. The universe does what it wants. Kyle Shanahan's approaching Marv Levy, Jerry Sloan,
mm-hmm.
like – bridesmaid, and that weighs on you, dude.
It does. But like I've said before, you
know. Now, Andy Reid was that until he broke through.
When people show the capabilities of what they have, you don't lessen what you expect from them. You begin to expect more. So when you show us, I made it to the Super Bowl, making it no more matters. You got to win it now.
Yeah.
And that pressure, see, the thing about it, hell, you saw Baltimore. I mean, Buffalo went to four straight and lost all four of them. It's not hard to – it's not easy to win for Super Bowls. So just because he made it. Will he make it? Because what's going to happen eventually? It's always a little – they have a constant little turn going on. In 3 to 4 years, you don't get that thing done when you got a damn good team, injuries will start to pop up. Other things will start popping up. Other teams may come and be just as good as you. So they've had like a four-year window. Will that thing continue?
Well, and I say this with the absolute acknowledgement that this is not happening in Washington yet, like anywhere close to it, right? But every coach, no matter who it is, has kind of their mindset, their mentality, their attitude, their message, their impact on a team.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, no matter who it is, unless you're – like, eventually Tom Landry got fired. Eventually Bill Belichick got fired. Bobby Bowden got fired. Like, eventually your message wears out.
Well, like, you get a lot of jealous people.
Sure.
Tom was fired because – he was bigger than damn Jerry.
Sure. But I'm saying, like, the legends of the world,
yeah.
Eventually it ends, right? I think it's premature to say that's happened. I think if you look at McVay in L.A., he had to completely reinvent himself. He said he, like, got pushed to the brink of quitting.
You know why? He got burned out.
Right.
That's why you got to get a balance. Stop listening to them thing at 1.5. Drop it to 1. I'm just saying, bro. Listen, everybody, you can say what you want. People talk about I can indulge and get more information. You only have a certain amount of memory in that body.
It's true.
Who care what the hell you do? So get a balance, brother. Get a balance.
We're working on it.
I'll teach you that.
With the Commanders, we're 24 hours removed from that loss. It's funny. I listened to multiple podcasts this morning and. The national perspective is what a terrible loss for Washington. And I think nationally, most people only paid attention to the last 7 minutes when things went bananas.
Yeah.
When there were just touchdowns galore.
Mm-hmm.
Are you now, with the benefit of a little time to pass, are you more concerned about just the various levels of stupid, especially special teams mistakes late in that game, or the offensive and defensive performances for the first 50 minutes of that game? What concerns you more?
What concerns me more is the fact that we didn't capitalize on a lot of stuff early. Because what happened at the end of the game, if they had kicked the field goal, they don't kick the ball to Turpin at all. If that, the extra point, I mean, if they had made that one.
Right.
I don't think the ball's kicked.
Because it's a tie game at that point?
No, and the onside would never have been.
Hell no.
Would have never have been kicked. You know, so that it's just like you have to understand that thing got out of hand because you had some circumstances that don't ordinarily happen. You know, the pass to Terry and him to go 86. How many times have you seen something like that? Not often. You know what I mean? So those things get out of whack. It's what got us into that situation where we had to go gung-ho. You know, we had to go out there and try some crazy stuff because we did not capitalize. And, you know, I listened to Revo talk. I listened to Terry talk. Actually saw, what's it called, yesterday?
Three turnovers.
Saw Quan yesterday. I didn't know Quan lived right, not far from my house. So I was sitting there talking to him. But the thing I'm starting
nice
to
young man,
see is that these guys understand when you have opportunity, you got to capitalize on it. Because you can't keep missing them and think, oh, we'll make it up. Listen, what Jaden has shown, he can do some things magnificent at the end of a game, come back. They have guys that can do that.
He doesn't quit.
But why have to do that? It's similar to what I would say about Ron. Everybody say, Ron, teams always started slow, but they finished strong. Well, you have to if you start slow. If you start fast, you don't put all that pressure on yourself. So I would say, why not capitalize early in games to where late in the game you don't have to have heroics? Because heroics come where you have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity sometimes, and you don't get multiple once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. You know what I mean? That's why it's called once-in-a-lifetime. Like the Hail Mary. Magnificent play. You don't want to depend on that every week.
Dude, I'm with you. For me, the end of that game is so fluky, so weird. There was a block in the back on the Turpin run back.
Right, like, in front of the referee.
There's so much that happened there that you can look at that as its own entity. But the 50 minutes of football prior to that where the offense continued to be ineffective. At some point, dude, Quinn and Witt pound the table for turnovers. Ball is life, get takeaways. The defense did it, has been doing it, and the offense does nothing with it. My concerns aren't with Jaden. I am concerned about the interior pressure rates. I think defenses have realized.
I watch a play.
I think defenses are stacking the boxes and trying to get up the middle.
What that defense was doing? They had two people attacking Biotis.
Yeah.
It's like when we double team.
A-gap stuff all
when
day.
When we double team on like a defensive lineman, they were doubling him, hitting him, bam, knock him off the ball, and then somebody else would come through a free hole because he couldn't get off of it.
Jeff heard you talk about gaps and holes. I think the defenses have clearly shifted to stacking the box and interior pressures. Dan Quinn doesn't want to hear about Cliff's struggles in Arizona, and I can understand that. That was a different team, different organization. I think it's possible we're making too much of that. Cliff needs a counterpunch. Whether that means you run that pistol with Sennett in there as a chipper on the interior. Like, defenses have come up with a new plan. You got to counter it.
Yeah.
It's time.
I'll tell you what a counter could be. Come out straight off the sideline, go pace. You'll have them in a tizzy.
Sure. And I think you saw some of it with Jaden being really effective to the edges, but it almost seemed like Dallas was comfortable giving that up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I told the people at Hayfield, I told them, don't mess with Azra Nomani. I told you, she's a bulldog. She's going to get to the bottom of everything. Once I saw Azra was investigating Hayfield football, time was up, man. I knew where this thing was
now
headed.
Now she needed to go to this superintendent.
Yeah, we're going to ask. Azra Nomani joins us next. She broke the news last night. Hayfield is now out of the Virginia high school football playoffs. If you are unaware of this story, you got to stay tuned because it's all sorts of adults messing up things for children. Nobody go anywhere.